A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After Jesus was baptized, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I came across an article, and it was addressing the issue of climate change. It was a balanced article. It was looking at, you know, the natural causes, but also quite possibly the human contribution to it. The conclusion of the article was that it's happening. Our climate is changing, and it is having an effect on the entire global community. Not just human beings, but all species on this planet. The one thing that caught my eye was this issue of, in our near north, in our Arctic, and it was addressing the issue of the polar bear. And there were a number of scientists who have been observing the changes that have taken place in the Arctic. And they came across what appeared to be a polar bear. However, when they got closer to it, they realized that they were not dealing with any ordinary polar bear. So they managed to sedate the animal. And when they got close enough to it, they realized that something had been altered with this bear. It had the features of a polar bear, but it also had the features of a brown bear. What they realized, that at some point, a brown bear and the polar bear had bred, and they had brought forth a hybrid. Not entirely polar bear, not entirely brown bear, but something that was new. The conclusion that they drew from this was that the polar bear knows that its environment is changing. And so what it is doing is that what it can only possibly do is to adapt. But the scientists, or a number of these scientists, they felt that this was going to be such a catastrophic event if this is allowed to continue. Because what will happen eventually is that the polar bear, as we know it, will no longer exist. It will become this new species. So it will go extinct. But the author of this article, what he concluded was something quite different. This is not a tragedy. This is a necessity and something that we can learn from. Because when we, like the polar bear, are faced with something that is life-altering, we have two options. We can stand our ground and refuse to change, and we will fight our way through it, and we hope we will survive, but there's a good chance we won't. And the result is, we will die. But if we take a lesson from the polar bear now breeding with the brown bear, we have adaptation. We learn to adapt to the situation around us, so we will learn how to grow, how to continue to survive and to live. The curious thing, I think for us as a species, is that what we will allow ourselves to know and to understand and to access is such a small portion of what we could possibly know, and as a result, what we can possibly become. This is not scientific, what I'm going to share with you. It's just as an example. Suppose we have a large pie, a circular pie, and it is 100% of what any individual can potentially learn, understand, and access. So we have this ability to have all of this information. But would it come as a surprise to you that we don't access 100% of all this information? Because the truth of the matter is, we don't attempt to learn to understand the 100% of what we could know. Instead, we settle for 0.0001% of that 100%. It's not even 1%. It's this tiny, tiny, tiny bit. And for us, why we do this is because it's familiar, it's accessible to us, doesn't ask us to change a whole lot. It's safe and it's secure. Now, if anything comes our way that is slightly outside of that 0.0001%, we will try to adapt it to what we already know. And if it doesn't work, we dismiss it. What this is tantamount to is this: that anything new that comes to us that could potentially open us up and create a greater way of being in this world, by us refusing to do that, standing our ground and refusing to change, we have signed our own death. But if, what if we were to try to understand, to learn the other 99.999% and allowed ourselves to try to access it? Imagine how different we would be. We would be so able to adapt to whatever comes our way. But in the process of, or the end result of being adaptable, we have changed all along. We are constantly expanding ourselves, our appreciation of who we are and the world around us. It is life-altering. This is, in fact, what was taking place in today's gospel. In today's gospel, it comes from the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is one of three synoptic gospels. Mark is the shortest, and it is the oldest. The other two, Matthew and Luke, which creates the three synoptic gospels altogether, they use Mark as a source document, and then they pull from other sources to fill out the message that they want to get across in their gospel. There is something very interesting in Mark's gospel addressing the desert wilderness experience that differs greatly from Matthew and Luke. Here it is. Matthew and Luke, they say that after Jesus comes up out of the waters of the Jordan, after he's been baptized, he is led by the Spirit into the desert, where he is tempted by Satan, and then it goes into a far more elaborate explanation as to what happens to Jesus in the desert. When you think of the word to be led, it conjures up images of someone who takes you by the hand, and they either walk beside you, or maybe slightly ahead of you, but they hold your hand gently and they guide you. So you, in fact, are giving your consent to being led to the other person. You are saying, I will go where you are leading me. But that's not the case in Mark at all. Mark says, when Jesus comes out of the waters, he is driven by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Driven is much different, so much different, than being led. If a person is being driven, they're not holding you by the hand. They're not walking next to you or slightly before you. They're standing behind you and they are pushing you. They are not waiting for your consent. They're saying, you have to go in this direction. There's an urgency behind it. And so what Mark is saying in this very brief passage, that Jesus was driven into the wilderness, not because he wanted to go there, but because he had to go there. And it would be up to Jesus to decide if he is going to hold his ground and refuse to change, but just hold on to his mindset that he has and die, or he can adapt to the wilderness and he can learn to take in so much around him that he grows and he expands and he becomes something other. The wilderness experience, going into the desert, it appears in the three synoptic gospels. And I am becoming more and more convinced that this is the most crucial event in Jesus' life. If this had not happened, if he had not gone into the desert, led or driven, I wager much, if not all, of what Jesus would say and do would never come to pass. He would, however, remain like John the Baptist, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the ordinary Jewish person, holding on to the same mindset that they all had. Their view on who they are, their responsibilities, the role in their religion, the role of culture in their life. They would never question it. Jesus may not have ever questioned it, and he would have just gone on as usual, thinking he was just like everybody else. But we know that's not the case. We know that when he comes out of the wilderness, he is very, very different. And this is why. Prior to Jesus going into the desert, I am assuming that he had the same mindset as John the Baptist about the kingdom of God, who God was, and who we are in this kingdom of God. Now, the image of the kingdom of God and the Messiah was this. The Messiah was a powerful, almost an immortal individual. You could not hurt this person. You could not harm this person because God's power was upon him. And he would have behind him all these armies, and they would rise up and they would crush their enemies with any means. Violence was perfectly fine because God was on their side and God was directing them to do this. They knew this. This is what they believed to be true. So this Messiah would have come from a connected family, wealthy, powerful, would speak eloquently, would be falling in line with all the other previous prophets as to how he would act and behave. This is how John understood it, the scribes, the Pharisees, and this is how Jesus would have understood it also. But what happens when Jesus comes out of the wilderness? When he comes out of the wilderness, what does he say about the kingdom of God? He says this: if you wish to know what the kingdom of God is about, then this is what you must become. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. You must love God with all your mind, body, heart, and soul. And how does this look? What does this look like? You will pray for those who hurt you. You will forgive those who come against you to harm you. You will do good to all people. You will feed the hungry, clothe the naked, bring sight to the blind, open up the mouths of people to speak freely, instill dignity and integrity within one another. You will not have any enemies among you. You will not see yourself as better than another, but as a servant to all. You will be humility incarnate, mercy incarnate, compassion and justice and love incarnate. This is not what the kingdom of God looked like for the average Jewish person. Jesus has been radically altered. He abandoned the 0.0001% of safety, and he entered into the 99.999% of knowing, vulnerability, being transformed, being undone so that he can be recreated, so that he can finally appreciate who he is. And he recognizes and acknowledges, yeah, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the living God, but I'm not what you think I am. And I'm not going to tell you who I am. You have to work for it also. But it didn't stop him from saying and doing what he would say and do. He radically is transforming his world at that time and is meant to transform it for us also. The takeaway for us is this: it was in Jesus' humanity in the wilderness where he discerns who he is, and he is opened up to who he is. In his humanity, he discerns this. The divinity is not imposed on him to make him realize it. He comes to that realization in his humanity. The good news for us is this: in our humanity, we can also discern who are we. No longer to settle for that tiny little sliver, thinking that's who we are, but instead to allow the wholeness of God's wisdom to inform us. This is who you are. This is who you've always been. But it will require of us to let go of our fear and our doubts and our unwillingness to change, but instead to adapt and to become a new creation. So, my friends, let us, like Jesus, enter into the wilderness. It's not just a geographical location. The wilderness is that undiscovered country within us that is waiting for us to venture into it and to allow it to inform us of who we are and to encourage us to let go and to allow ourselves to learn how to adapt, to become something new. And when we do that, the kingdom of God not only opens up to us, it opens up within us. And there we are, the kingdom of God in our midst.